everybody. Thank you for tuning in to episode 200 of Press A to Listen. We made it. We're here after months of everybody saying, they're not going to hit 200. Fuck you guys. I am your host, Smitty Smith. And joining me, as always, Pantless Steve.
What?
Yep.
Always?
You're always with me. Because when we're not talking, it's just fucking nonstop Facebook messages.
It's true.
And then we've also got Rare Bishop.
I took a year off.
Yep. He's already hit his quota of words for this show. And we have a special guest host returning. And now the most senior guest host I think we have on the show, Ubisoft's own Dan Amrick.
You have to call me senior as in citizen, as in AARP Liver and Onions 4 o'clock Denny's special, don't you?
Yes.
I have this lovely plaque here for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For the 200th show.
Okay.
And now I'm just going to throw it away because you called me old.
God damn it, Smitty.
Oh, stop.
No, wait. I'll send it to you covered in actual dental plaque.
I was just going to say, if you want plaque. All right. Hey, it goes good on chips.
Let's talk about
this. It says here that it's a pleasure to be here.
Obviously, somebody made that who's never listened to the show.
Congratulations on 200 anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. We wanted to have another guest. I tried to get Hugh on, but
didn't work out.
Yeah, well, because of short notice, he actually, and when I told him, very much like you, Dan, when I said, it's episode 200, just wanted to see if we could get you on, he was going to change his entire schedule for the day in order just to drop by for a little bit.
Right.
And I said, no, it's not a big deal. He had plans to go roller skating with his daughter or something, which...
Mila Kunis. Like,
frankly, if I can get video of him roller skating, that would be worth
I know,
it all.
True. You know what? You get a free pass if we can just have that blackmail material for the rest of our lives.
Right, right. But then I told him, Dan, that you were going to be on the show. And then I basically had to fight him not to change his schedule.
And he refused to appear at that point?
No, he was really excited to get on the show with you on here. I think he's got some bones to pick. I don't know.
No. It's Hugh and I have not been able to do a podcast together for several years now, and we still have people asking for it, but we also, like, you know, we talk over Facebook and stuff, but we don't talk in person much anymore because I don't live in LA, and I don't have a podcast that's active right now. My podcast is on hiatus. And so I just haven't had any excuses to interact with Hugh other than the occasional text message or Facebook. And he asked me a question the other day. He was working on a writing project, and he said, "Do you know anything about this?" I'm like, "Weirdly, I do." And he was like, "Oh, great, cool, thanks." And, like, that's about it. So I'm sure it would have been fun if he were here. But it's going to be more fun because he's not.
All of my friends, all of the people that I stay in touch with
are right here.
Yep. I was gonna say, like, you mean both of them, other guys? Because I'm just a guest. That's
no, it's just
friend.
Steve. I'm not.
Well, that's
friend.
What happens. I mean, half the games that we play together, Steve Bishop and I, one of us doesn't want to play, but because it's really the only social interaction we get, fine, fuck it, I'll play Rocket League again. You know,
how can you
Steve.
Not want to play Rocket League?
I know. Well, because now he's found Reddit and he can just go on and pay real money for the shit he wants.
Yeah. Just buy what you want to make your car look like, and you don't have to play the game with their broken servers
Dan,
and their awful drop rates.
If
and...
you get a certain type of equipable gear for your car in Rocket League, you can sell it for like $100 in real money.
Yep.
Why would you do that?
Because it's $100 in real money.
It's obviously worth $100. I mean, God, keep it. And
they're
ugly,
it goes
though.
Up in value.
No.
But they're ugly.
So what?
They're not even cool wheels.
Me. Ugly, but somebody wants it. I'm married.
Sympathy doesn't count.
In the
count,
eyes of the
right?
law. but now
I've got a question for Dan.
Uh-oh.
Where do babies come from?
No, well... That's later on. But for right now, Dan, what's your top three cheeses?
Oh, that's a good question.
Cheeses?
Oh, yeah. That was our discussion last week, our favorite cheeses.
Well, Wisconsin sharp cheddar, probably in curds. Curds.
Poutine? That's a good twist.
Blue. I'm actually a really big fan of blue. I know a lot of people don't like it. It's very divisive. It's stinky and whatnot.
Yep.
And I don't know that I could pick just three because there's my secret ingredient to grilled cheeses, which I'm not going to reveal.
This
so I guess I'm going to say...
we have you on the show so often.
I'm going to say feta.
Oh, see? Feta is a top three cheese. Fuck you
because
guys.
Because my wife Kat loves feta cheese and she got me into it. And I had never really experienced it before, but now I love it on everything. We throw it on pizza. Like, we'll order delivery pizza and then put feta on it when it gets here if we can't get it on there. So, so I would have to say fresh Wisconsin cheese curds, the greatest form of cheddar.
I literally heard Steve sit up and smile
then
during
blue.
That segment.
I don't know. Yeah, you can't see it, but I am shaking my head in agreement so hard
it.
Right now. Okay, good.
I can hear that you're smiling.
Jesus Christ.
I actually like a wide variety of cheeses, and weirdly, before there were subscription boxes for like everything under the sun, there was the International Cheese Lovers Society, and my parents subscribed to that. It was the International Cheese Lovers Society or something like that, or the International Cheese Lovers Club or something like that. And every like 6 weeks, they would send you a selection of cheeses. So I got exposed to really interesting cheeses at a very young age, and it stuck with me, and now I'm a cheese snob.
Wow.
Cheese connoisseur.
Praise cheeses?
Yep. Praise cheeses.
Right?
Cheeses, so good.
That's one of the...
I really want to know what your secret grilled cheese ingredient is now.
Then it wouldn't be a secret.
I will not tell you. Gouda takes
Gouda's
a lot to melt.
But it's, is a melted cheese, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure you have more important things to talk about than that.
We didn't
I don't know.
So the show really hasn't changed much since episode
not
one.
Not even a bit. No. Okay. No. People
By
know
the
what
way,
they're
when
getting
I,
when they
when
come
I
here.
I did ask for clearance to come on the show because, you know, I have to let Ubisoft know what I'm doing because right away you mentioned Ubisoft. Instead of, like, author of Critical Path or one half of Palette Swap Ninja or any of the IP that I actually own, you went right for Ubisoft. And so I always have to ask, and honestly, it's more of a formality. I haven't run afoul yet. And they always say, you know, like, oh, what's the topic going to be? And so I said, you know, Smitty, what's the topic going to be? He goes, oh, you know, just the usual stuff, you know, news and game discussion and some dick jokes. So I literally sent to our head of corporate communications for Ubisoft United States, and I said, I'd like to go on this podcast. They're old friends. They've been supporters of me for a long time. I've supported them. And, the topic is, and I quote, going to be news and game discussion and dick jokes, same as it ever was. And she's like, okay.
Yep.
So tell us all about South Park.
Now,
it's coming out.
You're gonna have yourself a time when it comes out.
Yep. That's
friendly faces
that,
everywhere.
You're
and
in PR, aren't you?
I'm not.
Can you tell us about the game? Yeah, it exists. Really?
It totally
you confirming is. That? Well, no, we don't comment on rumors and speculation.
I actually got to see some of the in progress stuff just last week, and
I was
giggling pretty hard. It's going to be good. It is going to be good.
I don't even watch South Park anymore, but that last game was so
doesn't
good.
Matter.
Yeah.
Does that's I mean, like, you know, playing knowing current South Park will of course enhance the game experience, but the classic humor is definitely going to be there. So, you can dig it.
There's like dick jokes about Steve's debts. I guess you can confirm the game has microtransactions. I've been working on that for 5 minutes on how I wanted to word it.
Oh, very good.
It could have used
you
another
it.
Five.
You got it from Reddit.
Achievement unlocked.
I could have used another five.
Let it bake a little longer.
Yeah, it needed a little bit longer.
I did something special for episode 200. Nothing big. But I actually put a little bit of effort into this. We'll get to it a little bit later on. But it's going to be a typical show. You know, I told Bishop, hey, we're going to have Dan on the show. And he was like, what the fuck? I thought it was going to be a three of us doing something special. That's every week. This is special. Dan's on the show.
No, it's not special. No, see, now I feel like I've ruined the party.
You would have felt like that by the end anyway.
Well, yeah, I normally do.
No, your cheese selections are way better than theirs, so you can stay.
Macaroni and was on the list.
Macaroni and. Velveeta is not a cheese. It is
Kraft.
A processed oil, for crying out loud.
I think Velveeta is disgusting.
It's awful.
Velveeta's not cheese. Velveeta's
we
not
had it's in a can, and Whiz was also there.
But I do like cheese Whiz, so...
oh, I'm not saying that I don't like it. I'm saying it's not cheese.
There's a reason they spell it with
a
Z.
Fair.
Yeah.
It'd be cooler if it was spelled cheese in quotes. All right.
Tastes like
looking
cheese.
Looking at what we've played this week... you know what? I'm going to have Bishop lead us off here.
Well, you can go ahead on. I only played Rocket League.
Yeah, you did. We had a few good nights. Couple bad
I wasn't
ones.
Last night.
Well, I mean, I had fun last night. I wasn't in the way.
Well, that best part of that was Dan. Not
My
this
favorite,
Dan, but another
yeah.
Dan.
Yes, that's true. My favorite nights are when I'm not in the way, because that leaves Bishop open to score like a dozen own goals.
Never not. Never.
No. We'll still blame Smitty, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's always I could be on the other side of the stadium.
You could not even be playing. I will send you a Facebook message.
Yeah,
I'll get
a message. Smitty, where were you? That was centered.
That's how you hit a ball,
Smitty. I'm at work.
You don't fucking
So Rocket League. Well, then we'll go from you to Dan.
What have I been playing lately?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about South Park. We know you've been playing South Park.
Actually, you know, my job every day is actually Rocksmith. Like, there is another community developer, CC Smith, who is entirely on South Park.
No relation.
and, like, Kat, we sort of drifted from Destiny, and then we went back to it. So we've been playing a bit of Destiny.
You play Destiny, yeah? That's the correct path.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of got a little out of it for a while. I didn't really want to play it. But I had to admit that I liked coming back. I didn't know where anything was. They had changed some of the subsystems, things like that.
Yep.
Forza Horizon 3 all day if I could. Like, I actually haven't played it for about 3 weeks. I've been playing it on PC on an ultra-wide monitor, so 2560 by 1080.
Okay, you said that slowly, like, they're going to rip me apart.
I know.
I love PC.
I switch back and forth, but oh my god, that game on an ultra-wide monitor is stunning. Rocket League is also super great.
I got that game for $20.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Target had it up.
Yeah, I was the guy that did the $100 pre-order, I don't care,
Jesus.
I want it all.
The one that came with a car?
No, Forza Horizon 3 is actually, the Horizon series is my favorite Xbox franchise. It has now eclipsed Gears of War. Because I had Gears of War 4, I haven't started it yet. And it's not because I don't want to, it's because I don't have the time. I've been chipping away a little bit at a time at the Talos Principle on PC and PS4.
Oh, yeah.
Really enjoying the hell out of it. Oh, is it? Is it hard for you? Okay, that's good to know, because I'm enjoying it. It just takes me time to sit down and play it, but once I'm in the zone...
It's a shame you're so stupid, Steve.
It really is. It is.
Whatever.
It is,
and any of you complete at least 15 puzzles in The Witness and then talk to me.
That would require me to
use in Rocket League, and I just drive.
Except for Dan.
No,
I'm sure
The
Dan
Witness.
Just...
I'm actually having trouble with The Witness. I am actually having serious trouble with The Witness. So I want
to
get back to
you guys.
That.
All right.
I have to admit that my guilty pleasure, and I know you guys are going to accuse me of this, Watch Dogs 2, living
it's great.
In the Bay Area is extra
really
fun for me to go by and realize that my house isn't even on the map. Like, my house is up near the oil refinery.
Okay.
So, like, basically I tried to find exactly where I would be, and
where
they have compressed basically all of Berkeley. I live above Berkeley. So they've compressed that entire area into basically one public park. So I basically I'm
so
homeless.
Homeless.
I live in the public park.
Yeah,
but I've
seen you. Yeah,
really
okay.
Freaked me out about Watch Dogs 2, like the fact that they moved the Ubisoft office over two blocks. So I went to literally where it should be, and it wasn't there. And I'm like, what the hell? And then they had taken the liberties and they had moved the Ubisoft office. But the front does look accurate.
That's bullshit. I'm just all right. That already dropped 3 points.
One out of 10 right there.
Yeah. Yeah, can you believe it?
This is horseshit, no.
But yeah, I've been chipping away at Watch Dogs 2. I'm really enjoying my time with it, but
that's a massive
I have a long commute. I have an hour door-to-door each way, and so I don't really get to and I work kind of long days. So I don't get to play nearly as much as I did or as I want to. And when I'm at home, I'm on the weekends. I'm trying actually to. I've got a deadline for this Palette Swap Ninja project. So,
yes.
Really, it's Watch Dogs 2 and Horizon 3 when I can pull it off.
Do you still play the Old Republic?
In theory, which is to say, I still subscribe
for it.
Yeah, right. He's still paying for it. Yeah,
I am still paying for it. Now, Kat actually dropped off.
Okay.
So we were doing a really cool 4-person like couples date weekly when we were in LA. And now we moved back and we see those people on a regular basis, so they don't really care. And
gotcha.
Kat's like, I'm having more fun with Destiny, so you can stop. So I'm still paying for me, because I still have some solo characters.
The Old Republic.
That, Lightning Bolt!
Right.
Some solo characters that I'm playing. But that's, you know, when it strikes me, when the itch, you know, gets there, that's how I scratch.
Well, and the reason I ask is, my boy has finally developed a personality, and he's at the apex of Star Wars fandom right now, and I was thinking about sitting down with him.
Yeah,
Oh man. He will sit down at my computer with me, and we'll just go page to page at Wikipedia, just reading, which is fantastic. You know, his language is, you know, skills have gotten better, his reading and writing, things like that.
Sure.
Still likes to argue inane bullshit, so that's how I know he's a real Star Wars fan. I think I'm going to sit down with
Zing.
Him. Sit down with him and have him like create a character and start teaching him how to play PC games. He plays Minecraft, and that's it. So, yeah, but I got to teach him how to min max and all that stuff. You know, the right
that's
way.
That's very cool. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring him up right.
That's right, right, right. It hit him every now and again, but... Awkward silence? That was a joke, guys.
Oh, that was a joke.
Jesus.
Oh, that was a funny joke.
Yeah. Dick jokes are fine, child abuse isn't. What kind of show is this?
Double standard.
This is garbage. Did you play anything else? Let's move on quick.
No, I've got a lot installed, and I've got a lot of things that, like, I look longingly at the icons on my desktop. I liked Tumblestone on Xbox One. I want to get back
to
more of that. Really enjoyed that.
It's hard.
I'm playing Overwatch with Kat and my brother-in-law. I do really enjoy that. But that's nice because like times when we don't want to get into like a lot of Destiny and Strikes and stuff like that, it's like, well, let's just jump on for Overwatch for like 3 matches and get our asses kicked and we're done.
What did you just say under your breath?
Incursions.
Oh. That's not in Destiny.
No, it's
there
not.
You.
But yeah, like I've been having fun with other PC games too. Dead by Daylight is fun, but I'm terrible at it.
That sounds like a zombie game.
No, it's a Friday the 13th game. It's four human players versus one killer. So
yes,
it's an
it worked real well with Evolve.
It's basically Evolve but fun.
Oh,
but it works.
Fired.
Sorry.
Fuck you, 2K.
No. Hey. Evolve.
I thought Evolve was going to be awesome, and I loved it when I played
it. I was with you.
And it was like, okay, it didn't come together. But yeah, Dead by Daylight, one person is the like horror movie killer, and the other three people have to escape his sort of domain after achieving objectives. So I think I like the idea of asymmetric gameplay. And I am also just like, I'm really scared by this game, and it's wonderfully brutal. It's done by the fine folks who did Naughty Bear Behavior Interactive.
I remember that game.
Behavior is the fine folks who made the Wipeout games for Activision.
That's also correct. Yeah,
they've done a lot of games. They've
been
around.
What we're
gonna
do is just jerk off publishers all day.
I mean, no, we're jerking off Behavior Interactive,
except for 2K.
Okay.
Except
for 2K. Yeah, fuck 2K. I love 2K. I actually still have friends. Fun fact: the head of 2K's PR was once upon a time GamePro's intern.
Another fun fact. 2K has employees. They're the only employees that I've confirmed that actually listen to the show.
Oh, great. So,
listen, I played a 2K game, so we can talk about that. All right?
Okay. All right. What'd you
Big
play?
Old 2K games.
They didn't actually do these, though. They farmed them out to whatever those companies are called.
Bioshock 2 was made by 2K Australia, I thought.
No,
yeah, but the ports were not done. Port house is the word I was looking for. I finished Bioshock 2.
Now I want a steak.
And I haven't played it yet. I did an interview for it. I did a cover story on it.
You mean
and
you haven't
I never
played
actually
it ever?
Played the whole game.
Wow.
Bioshock
is it worth it? Bioshock 2? It,
Steve will tell you all
so
about it.
So Bioshock 2 plays better than Bioshock 1. They took a lot of... We kind of talked about this last week. Like just some of the control stuff. It is a better game to play. It is not a better story.
Okay.
And boy, the end of that game, I didn't remember any of it. It gets real weird and it's done with. And then I started Infinite. And
which that doesn't get weird at all.
Infinite.
I really liked that game. I know a lot of people had issues with it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So Infinite is clearly the best playing, but it's really weird playing all three of them in a row because Infinite adopts the kind of standard first-person shooter controls, whereas A is jump as opposed to Y in the other games. And so playing them all back-to-back-to-back was really strange because I was just pushing Y a whole bunch because I was trying to jump, and that is not how that game works. But it's kind of fun to have finished Bioshock 1, not me.
And it's playing Bioshock Infinite music.
There you go.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought I was muted.
It is fun
now.
To play.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
It's fun to see kind of that they had that vision all along, playing the first Bioshock and then kind of jumping right into Infinite and seeing a lot of where that game goes was set up in the first game off the bat. And Infinite, it's a different playing game. The gunplay is obviously a lot better, and there's not as many vigors. I don't remember what they're called now. Plasmids in the old games. Vigors in Infinite.
Right.
Not as many of them, but they can be comboed a lot easier because you kind of quick switch between them. So that provides a lot of kind of variation as far as that goes.
A lot of George Washington.
There's a lot of metal George Washington.
Right,
I just got dropped into jail, and I don't...
Yes, yep.
Yep, does that be popular.
Yeah.
That happens.
I get it. So I don't know, a third, halfway through that
What was his
game?
Name? Booker DeWitt?
Or yes. Booker DeWitt.
Yep.
Booker DeWitt.
Wow.
Something about get the girl, erase your debt. Bring us the girl, erase your debt.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Wasn't there, like, portals and shit in that? Like, in
yeah.
the beginning?
Yeah, she did it. Yeah, Elizabeth did it, whatever her name was, did it. She would open
yep.
portals.
Elizabeth. That's
great. Right.
It was that giant metal bird.
Elizabeth.
Yep. Yep.
There were the twins with the coins.
Those yep.
twins freaked me out.
Oh, Jesus, man. It's
the
all
best
coming
barbershop quartet in video games.
Yes.
Oh, that was great.
Yep.
And then some shit happens right there.
Yep.
Yep. It's a good game.
That game. I'm going to... Okay.
Yep. It's a good game.
All right, Bishop's back in.
Sell that game.
I have. Let's go to the Division.
Okay.
And this is a total coincidence. We started playing this again before we knew Dan was coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
I actually really like the Division. I did not like the Dark Zone, but I like a lot of the changes that they've done. I think that they've fixed a lot of the issues that made the game less fun.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I was kind of, I had a bunch of collectibles to clean up. And I was like, well, let me go get these collectibles because those are basically easy achievements and see kind of, you know, what has changed. Because I have probably stepped foot in the Dark Zone maybe twice ever. So I'm right there with you.
By accident?
Yeah. It's like, oh no. And my hype level for that game was high, and I was a sucker, and I bought in early and bought that season pass edition. And so I have all that stuff sitting there as well that I've never actually touched or played. So, I'm now ready to go to the Underground, Smitty, if you are. I've gotten all of my collectibles. I've done
okay.
that.
Okay. I'm going to be playing that tonight, so.
But,
yo, guys, hook me up. I will play with you.
All right.
Okay, well we're going to play tonight.
Well, all right.
I'm not.
Well, no, you're probably still at work, so.
No, he's not. He's home.
No, oh. I left work early to do this podcast.
See? See?
Oh, jeez.
That's because Smitty guilted me into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so, I mean, like Dan had kind of mentioned, like, there's been sweeping changes to,
just about everything. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
loot.
mainly the, I think it's mainly the loot, where they've added, obviously, gear sets, they've added light levels or whatever it's, I still don't know what it's called in that game, I just call them light levels. But, so it's a way to kind of level yourself past the level cap of level 30. There's world tiers now, so each one kind of gets you up to a certain gear score and then you go from there. But man, it's like gear drops everywhere. And rapidly as well. I kind of had zero interest in any of the world tier stuff. I was like, well, I'm just going to kind of go get these collectibles and I'll kill whatever's in my way, you know, on the way there. And then I'll check out this DLC stuff. But you so quickly hit the like kind of cap that you can get gear for, in your current tier because it just drops everywhere. And that's, you know, orange, you know, legendary. What are they called? Are they legendaries in that game?
High end.
I don't know. High end. Yeah, orange high end pieces. High end. I mean, just common enemies are dropping orange loot. Common enemies are dropping green gear set loot.
So I have a pretty good, I guess it would be an analogy for this. In that, with a game like this, a lot of people are driven by loot. Have you ever been to a casino?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Dan, you're old, so you probably have.
Oh, yeah. You know, just for the buffets.
In the casino, let's say you drop $5 into a slot machine and you win $1.25. Now,
you're immediately going to put that $1.25 back.
Well, no, you've lost $3.75, but psychologically, you've won money. So in The Division, you're seeing all these orange and mint colored items drop that aren't necessarily better than what you have, but the fact that you're seeing
feels
those colors,
good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's triggering that the neurons in your brain. Am I getting a little too technical here?
Yeah. No.
It's making the synapses fire. I'm Googling these words. I don't know what any of them mean.
Good for you.
yeah. So
how to use the Google now.
So I've pushed myself to world
Bing
tier
and type Google
4. I think there's 5 of them total, right?
Yes.
I've pushed myself up to world tier 4, like literally not trying, just kind of running around, picking up collectibles, and
shooting
just
people in the face,
just killing people along the way. And I've gotten my light level up to the point where it can
light level.
I don't know what it's called.
I don't either. I call it light level too.
It's a light level. So I've gotten myself to a point where, you know, that's viable stuff now where I want to like, well, okay, if I'm getting this stuff, it might as well, you know, be better in the long run. And yeah, it's a nice thing to be able to get end game loot without having to deal with the frustration that is the Dark Zone. And this underground thing sounds cool, I guess. It's what, like procedurally generated subway
underground
stuff?
Basically survival. Makes the Division into Diablo.
Oh!
Yeah. All right, well.
As a comment.
This has been episode 200?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a boss, and you get like, you know, a mission that'll take you anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 minutes to get through. And you've got a boss most of the time that you have to take out. Or you've got a, you know, things that you have to do when you get to the end, but it's procedurally generated, so it's familiar, but you know, not necessarily predictable. It's bolting
but
together,
but also infinitely repeatable as well, right?
Repeatable. Yeah, it's a lot. I find that a lot of fun.
We'll probably do that tonight.
It reminds me of Diablo Dungeons.
Oh. I like this. I like this.
Can you get hacked here?
No.
He works for Ubisoft. He's not going to tell us that.
Right.
Come on.
Not till we're in party chat here. Have this.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I still don't think the shooting feels great in that game. But the
feels
loot
different. I don't think it feels bad.
I mean,
the enemies are bullet sponges, but they have to be.
Well, yeah, but it just never feels as accurate as in my head it should be. And maybe that's me.
Jesus Christ. I'm
maybe
not
that's
even
the game.
Step into
maybe
your
that's
head.
Maybe that's both of us. But yeah, I mean the loot aspect and what they've done has made that game, you know, like again, like being able to get that end level, end game stuff, and still advance yourself without stepping into the asshole-ridden Dark Zone is a nice thing that they've done to that game.
Yeah, I've had fun. and they've added, like, there's daily missions, there's weekly missions. You earn a couple of different
bounties.
Types of, what, the HVTs?
Well, no, I meant...
No, so bounties. You haven't even seen the HVT boards yet, have you?
No, because you have to do, like, that search and destroy stuff before you can do HVT stuff, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do a certain type of mission a couple times, and you get different kinds of currencies, and then you go turn them in, you get HVTs that are, you know, different difficulties, but that's where you get all the good shit, too. It's, I mean, they've done a lot more than I expected them to. I was in that game deep for a good month and a half. And when I say deep, I mean, I think I probably logged 250 hours. I mean, it was like
wow.
A full-time job. It took over, you know. It was almost called The Division because that's what my wife and I did.
Right, yeah.
So, but seeing what they have now and what they're offering, it's refreshing. It's nice to see that the studio can say, all right, guys, we get it. There was a whole bunch of sales. There was high expectations, and the end game just wasn't there. We're going to fix it. Try it out now. You know?
Yeah. So, they were very dedicated to making that be the game that people wanted it to be.
Of course. I mean, nobody wants to be like, yeah, we got a bunch of money, and then they left. It's cool.
Thanks. See ya.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I played Resident Evil 7.
Oh, yeah. Tell me all about it.
Biohazard.
This. AKA,
I like this game.
Let's pee.
I like this game a lot. I'm a Resident Evil fan. I liked 6. I liked 5. I liked them all the way, you know, at least the numbered stuff, all the way through. Some of those offshoot things are a little rough. Revelations was all right. This game, so first off, it's not third person. It's in a first person perspective for the first time ever.
And that's why I'm going to play it.
Which was weird at first. But it also, this is not, like, if you've started playing Resident Evil games with, like, 4 and 5 and 6, those games were more kind of shooter driven than they were survival horror kind of puzzle driven. And this game has kind of gone back to its core values, where it's there's still, you know, guns and weapons. Ammo is scarce again. It's not every enemy you kill you're going to be able to pick up ammo and just keep dumping. But you're also not going to encounter just hordes and hordes of zombies
or
enemies, whatever they turned into in kind of 5 and 6. The most enemies I've ever faced at once is 2 so far.
Okay. Is it still the T-Pain or whatever it is?
I don't know. You know, so this is apparently takes place, I don't remember, it's a bunch of years after the end of 6.
Okay. So, and again, I haven't played any of these, so all this shit's going to be new to me.
And so, like, there's something happening, right? But they haven't really kind of keyed in what it is. The T-Virus was more zombie-related, whereas these things aren't really zombies, so to speak.
Mutants.
Yeah, there's a couple different... So, your wife goes to babysit for this family. She disappears. 3 years later, you get an email that says, I'm ready, come pick me up. You don't know what the hell's going on. So you drive down to Louisiana to this crazy... creepy ass house in the middle of nowhere to try and find your wife. You quickly find her and then lose her and then learn that some real foul stuff is afoot, and the owners of that house, the Bakers, invite you to their, let's say they invite you to their dinner table, which I think is a scene a lot of people have kind of seen in their marketing and so forth. And they are kind of the main villains of the game. And it is kind of back to Resident Evil 1, where you were trapped in this giant house with crazy tunnels and underground stuff, and weird puzzles to open doors and certain keys that you have to find, and inventory management is a big deal. Ammo scarcity is real. It's suspenseful as hell because A, you're in the first person, so you just can't see anything around you. So stuff can sneak up behind you and it does quite frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah, grabs you on the shoulder and spins you around. But they do a really good job of like pacing this game where it's not always kind of nonstop running away from people or combat and shooting people. But you never feel like comfortable or at ease. You never are like, okay, this is the time where I can just kind of explore and find the solution to this puzzle. Because behind every door could be a crazy maniac who's chasing you through this house.
Damn it, Steve.
It's the right amount of suspense that, like I said, like you're like, oh, cool, okay, I gotta go find these stupid dog heads to put into this door to open it. So that's my main goal.
Did you say dog heads?
Yep, you heard me.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm gonna go. They're not real dog heads. They're like metal plates. You're making like a Cerberus on a door. So your main goal is obviously kind of hunting through this house and trying to figure out the puzzles to find these pieces. And you know that's just kind of the first part of it. But the whole time, you're randomly encountering one of the bakers of the family. You think you put him down or stop him, but you're never really sure if that's the final straw. So it's just, there's always a kind of like pace to your movement where you're like, all right, I got to get in this room. I got to look around it real quick. And then I got to get out and move on to the next room before he finds me because I only have 9 bullets in my gun right now. And that's probably not enough, and I don't have any healing potions or healing vials on me right now. And boy, it just creates a level of kind of tension and suspense that like Resident Evil initially kind of was known for and had gotten away from. And it feels real good to be back. Everybody knows that scene in the very first Resident Evil when you walk down that hallway and a dog jumps through the window. I mean, this is basically...
It sets the tone.
The game, right? So, like, the entire game feels like that kind of thing could happen at any time to you.
Resident Evil, dogs and windows.
Yeah, well, and I've moved to a new part where there are bugs, and...
I'm not playing it.
I don't know if I can play this game with headphones on, because...
Do they buzz?
They buzz, and I was playing earlier, and they were buzzing, and my headphone cord rubbed against my neck, and I about fucking lost it. Have you guys ever been... Dan's probably been to Disney. I mean, like...
Yes.
I'm reaching, like, 10 years ago, Disney, and it wasn't Disney. It was the Magic... No, what was... it was MGM, but I don't know what it is now. But they had Universal? This thing, and it was a dark theater, and everybody wore headphones, and you would like basically go through this skit with these like really high level headphones, like really fancy headphones on.
So Beats by Dre.
Sure, yeah. they had all of these things where like you'd be in a barber, like getting your beard shaved, and you know you could hear like the razor cutting your face. Cutting the hair on your face, not like slicing you up. But one of the things in that was like a fly buzzing back and forth between each ear. And it's always given me like weird goosebumps and made me feel weird. Even thinking about it now, I'm kind of like, ooh. And these bugs in this game make the exact same noise. And it drives my eardrums crazy. And, it's unsettling.
So good game.
It's great. I absolutely love it. I cannot play it for long periods of time. Just because it makes me so uneasy. I made some major... Go ahead.
I assume it's even better in PSVR.
We talked about that.
Don't understand how anyone could play this game in VR because I would literally probably pass out. Now, also, I'm kind of a horror game pussy, so I can totally admit this. So maybe it's affecting me more than it would others. But man, some that game in VR, like kind of being trapped in that would be just too much. I mean, my headset cord rubbed against my neck today and I about ripped it off of my head. So yeah, it's great. I don't think it looks really good. Like some of the textures are muddy and gross, but I mean, that's kind of what the house is going for anyway. So it's not a huge knock. But yeah, it sets a tone and a level of uncomfortable that
I saw
Resident Evil hasn't done in a while. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Has that always been like that?
Maybe not to the level that this game is. The Baker family is not a very kind and accepting family. They've welcomed you into their home, but maybe not under the terms that you would want to be welcomed into someone's home.
Weird.
Yeah, and when you run around, you know, shooting them in the face, they tend to not like that.
Okay. The Bakers and I have something in common.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you like it.
And I like it a lot, actually. Like, a lot. Yeah, I cannot wait to keep kind of going and get through this bug area to see what's next, because fuck this bug area. Ugh. And Grandma, oh man, Grandma did some weird things today, Smitty. She rolled. Grandma turned her head. The Baker family has a grandma in a wheelchair that I presumed was dead, and she just kind of randomly shows up in the corner of certain rooms, and if you leave and go back in the room, she's gone and missing. And she was basically sitting outside of the door of one of my safe rooms today, which... too close. That's too close for comfort.
Yep, sure is.
And as I walked up behind her, she rolled her head around and looked at me. I thought Grandma was just kind of dead.
Be honest, Steve. Did you hit that?
Nope. No. I tried, but they don't let you target. They don't let you target Grandma.
What do you mean you tried?
I got a couple of websites.
I got a knife. I tried to hit her.
Target Grandma.
Yeah. Oh. What did you mean? I'm sorry. I thought you meant that I, like, hit her with the knife.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And that's all I've played. Yeah. I like Resident Evil a lot, and I cannot wait to continue to play that game.
So cool. Did you have something to say, Dan?
No, I just said that was cool. That's
terrifying.
I will be playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Dan, have you tried the set your home Xbox to someone else's Xbox trick yet?
No, what does that do?
Well, basically, so you got to trust the people first and foremost. But I was visiting my parents, and my brother lives with my parents because he's awesome. And I set my my Xbox account on his console and made that my home console. I can still log in and play my stuff here, but basically every game that I own, he can now play on his console, own gamertag.
You made the original promise of Xbox One of being able to share games with people before the world freaked out and decided that they desperately needed to cling to 5-inch silver discs. You made that a reality by basically doing a hack.
Physical media. It's an advertised thing.
It's one of their things.
I have mine set as my brother's.
Yeah. Oh.
Every digital game has two licenses. There's the one tied to your gamer tag and then one tied to your home Xbox. If Smitty buys a game, it will go to his gamer tag, which is on his Xbox, and his home Xbox, which is his brother's Xbox.
Right. I was just going to say it's magic, but Steve knows some shit. But yeah, so
I looked into this a lot before.
And then my brother stuck his PayPal account on my gamertag.
Now that's a mistake.
It's a huge mistake. So when he wants a game, he has me buy it through. You know, I'll be sitting here, on my account, and he gets it, and I get it. It's great. As of tomorrow, he I guess tomorrow's payday for him. I don't know. He said to buy it on his account because he really wants to play Resident Evil. I hope he really wants to play a bunch of other games too, because if it's payday, he's going to buy all kinds of stuff. So I'll be playing that tomorrow.
And you have no real Resident Evil history, right? Like
no, I played the first one. I played a little bit of the second one.
Yeah, so I don't think you really need to have any kind of Resident Evil history to enjoy this game.
I watched some of the videos and said, I don't give a fuck about the story. This is absolutely balls-to-the-wall insane. I need to experience.
Yeah.
And it's first person. That's one of the things that always pushed me away from Resident Evil is that third person. It always felt like tank controls. And I know they said they fixed it, and you guys have said they fixed it. Steve, you got me the game, for Christ's sakes. Maybe once I finish this one, I'll go back and play the other one, finally.
What are you talking about?
Didn't you? You gave me a copy of Resident Evil, didn't you?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you did. You gave me a code. I'm 99.9% sure.
Okay.
No?
I don't think I did.
I might. I dream about you a lot.
Can I have that code? Can I have that code back?
No, I used it.
Look, like, it's hard to go back to those first ones because they are real tanky, but like 4, 5, and 6 kind of modernized it to a point. But again, like, they're not survival horror games, right? Like, they're just kind of shoot the zombies games. Yeah. But this one's great. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'll try another game that I won't finish.
Thinking about those giant fucking bugs right now. Oh.
Yeah. I get antsy every now and again, and I've got a million games I need to finish, but every so often I'm like, I just gotta get away from these 50 games and play something new. So I picked up Dungeon of the Endless, and this is my jam. I keep comparing it to Binding of Isaac is to Steve what this game may end up being to me. I've got 1,000 hours left to play before I'm on that level, Steve. I know.
At least. Yourself.
Yes, I get it. And 6 different platforms and, you know, fan art and fan fiction. I understand. But Dungeon of the Endless is a roguelike exploration RPG type game. To start with, you choose 2 characters. And your characters have different strengths and weaknesses. So some are good at combat, some are really fast, some have what's called wits, so that's their intelligence that can allow them to do different things. And they all have unique abilities, and you can equip gear to them and things like that, but you start with 2. And what you unlock as you play is the ability to start with different characters each time. All right, so, you know, there's a couple of them in the beginning that are grossly overpowered until you get to the end game, and then you realize these guys are just absolutely useless. So you kind of have to plan. It's like chess. You have to see steps ahead. And the gameplay itself, you start in a room with a crystal, and the crystal floats there until it's ready to be picked up. What you do is you go pathfinding, and it's set up almost like the original Legend of Zelda, you know, those rooms, you go room to room, like that. When you get into a room, you have to essentially use, it's called dust, to energize the room, and that turns the lights on. When a room's energized, you can build these machines that can give you industry, which is stuff you use to build things, science, which you use for a couple of different, you know, random things, food, which you use to heal your players, your characters, and to level them up, and then you eventually can build some other stuff, and in order to research different, like, turrets and different things like that, that's where you need to get your science built up. Every room you're allowed to place one, we'll call it it's not a turret, but it's a machine, one big machine, and it's not guaranteed. Some rooms don't have the spot for the big machine, and then a random number of little machines, which is where you stick your guns, and there's different guns that you can set up, and some do debuffs and some buff your players and things like that. So it's really neat, you know, going through that way. As you explore, if you don't energize a room, the next time you open a door, there's a chance that a wave of enemies will spawn in any single dark room. So if you've gone through this whole level, and I just did this, I'm on level 9 of 13 in this one run, and there's, let's say, seven rooms that you just you can't energize. You open a door, you might have five of those rooms spawn a wave of enemies. It's a nightmare trying to deal with them, because the enemies do different things. Some will go after your turrets, some go after your character, some go right to the crystal and try to destroy that thing. And the whole purpose is you have to find the exit and then pick up the crystal and get it to the exit. The problem is, once you pick up the crystal, you can't put it down. And once you pick up the crystal, it's non-stop waves of enemies coming out of every single room that's not lit. And so you kind of want to go and explore everything and you know, get your characters as leveled up as possible. And then set it up so that the path you're going to take from the crystal to the exit is lit, but you have to keep some other rooms lit as well, because you don't want the enemies spawning in front of you, because you can't attack when you have the crystal. So you have one character that's faster than everybody else. That's the one that carries the crystal. And the crystal slows you down a bit anyway. If the person with the crystal gets to the exit and leaves before the other team gets there, they're gone. They're dead. They're out. And you start the next level with that one dude. It's got a little bit of humor in it. In between each level, you're on an elevator. And there's like some witty banter going back and forth between characters. And this morning I was playing, and it pissed me off. I read the banter back and forth a little bit. I just kind of glance at it. And I happened to glance over and saw that two of the characters that were in my team were arguing with each other. So one dude that has the shotgun turned and fucking blasted the runner of my team that was one level away from getting me my achievement. So I started the next level. That character was gone. So apparently, there's some personality dynamic in this game that I had no fucking clue about. So I started looking at the wiki, when I initially started playing. But Steve, like you said, with a roguelike, you kind of just want to pull back and discover things on your own. So that's what I've been trying to do. When that happened, I pulled it up, and it turns out that the characters that you get in the game, for lack of a better word, they kind of belong to different factions. So some are aliens, some are prisoners, some are law enforcement, that type of thing. And some of them don't get along well with the others. And, as I found, I'm still on that same run, but my game is literally about to end, because shit just, it gets real. I'm on the 10th level, like I said, out of 13, and I'm playing, there's two difficulty modes, very easy and easy. It might as well be normal and fuck you. I mean, simple as that. It gets hard. But this game has absolutely pulled me in, because I can see those interesting little dynamics where you build a character a certain way and you can, farm this if you get lucky with a couple of rolls and overpower some other characters, but shit has to go perfect for you to do that. I bought the game for $10. What a fucking great game. I am blown away by how good so blown away. I went to Google Play to see if it was on Android, because I was going to buy it there, too. I really like this game. Yeah, really, really good. And I bring that up because my wife went out and bought me a new tablet, a Samsung Galaxy Tab S2. So I've been playing mobile games just nonstop. And I bring that up because, Dan, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What happens when a mobile game shamelessly rips off an IP owned by a big company? And I'll give you an example. There's a game called Legion of Chaos on Android. It's World of Warcraft. Okay. I mean, the character models, I play on the server Stone Talon Peak. Everything except the names of the characters is literally ripped from Warcraft. And I don't know if they ripped it from Warcraft 3.
It looks like it? It is, or it's exactly named the same?
I fought Illidan today.
Okay.
All right.
Then yeah. Generally the lawyers are called, and the lawyers start doing research, and then okay. Cases are put together. So
it's a poorly translated game.
So don't give them too much money is what you're...
I paid like $2.99, I think, to get the super mega pack of something. I ended up with a druid of such and such. You know, I told you the names were weird. But yeah, I mean, I'm continuing to play it because I love Warcraft. Love it. Love the universe. And I mean, the game is really busy. I'm pretty sure it's Korean. Mm-hmm. So it's all translated, and it would make sense because the gameplay itself is well above anything that I can follow normally. So Koreans are some hardcore gamers. Is that racist? That's not racist, right? Okay. Fine. I'll step out on this ledge myself, guys.
I know StarCraft is basically its own religion in Korea. So.
Yeah, it's still played over there like hardcore. Yeah. But I mean, when you the hardcore gamers over there compared to the hardcore gamers over here, it's like child's play, you know.
We've got to make America hardcore again.
I've got a website for that too.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
But yeah, so I've been playing that, and I've told a couple of friends about it, and oh, what's the game? And I tell them, and you know, I'll get a text message like 3 hours later, like, this is fucking ridiculous. I can't believe how much they're stealing. It's absurd.
Yeah, all that publisher has to do is notice, and then, you know.
Well, that's one of the reasons I bring it up on my podcast, too. Because you know Blizzard listens to this.
Yeah, I'm no doubt in my mind.
All right, you hear these guys? Ignore them. but that's going to be it for me. What came out this week, Bishop?
Huh? What?
You what awake, came out Pookie? This week, Bishop?
What came out this week, Bishop?
Resident Evil 7. Moto Racer 4. The Sun and the Moon, which is $7. Towerfall Ascension, $15. Subterrane, $17. And then Doodle God Ultimate Edition is $10. That is it.
Cool. That is it. All right.
So buy Resident Evil 7.
Right.
And nothing else.
Right.
Actually, Towerfall's really fun if you have a group of people to
play. You should have online play. That's bullshit.
Well, there you go.
Steve, you got news for us, or do we want to do our gamer tag of the week?
As you tell me, you're the host.
And they're in an order.
I see you guys are smooth as ever.
They're in an order in the show notes.
All right, let's do our gamer tag, and then we'll go into news. So, Steve, did you bring any?
Sure. I've been playing single player for the most part. But I had Big Booty Lover, and that's with two R's.
Also in mine.
So, you know he loves the booty because there's two R's.
Yep.
That's all I had.
That's all you had?
I didn't pick the other one because I knew Bishop would bring it.
Bishop, do you want to do yours?
Mine is Dan Smith from HR.
Such a good
name. That was pretty good. Yeah. Was it Dan Smith or just Dan?
It was Dan Smith. Smith.
It was Dan cool, Smith man. From HR. Yep.
He needs you to come in on Saturday to file them reports.
Right. Yeah.
That was a guy that was propositioning me for hand jobs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he offered to give Steve a hand job for $5.
It's Steve, HJ for $5.
Yep, $5.
Right. Yep. Dan Smith from HR was a stand-up
guy. And he told Smitty he'd fuck his dad, so.
He did. I talked to my dad. We can let Mr. Amrick over here choose the winner this week. But I'm the gamer tag I have for this week is currently gay.
What?
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, you never know. Things change.
Right.
Person
yeah,
doesn't want to come in.
Exactly. Exactly. So that
currently.
Okay. Currently gay. Yeah. I mean, I would assume his previous gamer tag was future homosexual.
Contemplating.
Right? By curious.
So, I need
what do you think?
Oh.
I got to give it to Dan Smith from HR. I think that's hilarious. Sorry. Yeah.
No. That's a really good. We saw that and immediately was like. Because, I mean, we all holler out the fucking gamer tags. And we met the gamer tag of the year.
Does he know about Lou?
He doesn't. Bishop and I playing Rocket League. The guy's name is Lou, L O U, and his last name was Spothole.
Uh-huh.
So we got to play Rocket League with Lou Spothole. Nothing? Really? Come on, you knew what you were getting into when you agreed to come on the show.
I know.
I know it's not big jokes, Dan. I'm sorry.
It's the other side.
Sorry.
The other side.
The other side.
Xbox needs to do another gamertag purge because Steve has just been inactive forever.
Oh yeah, I went back and my gamertag is now my name, and somebody was like, "That's boring." I'm like, "No, because
no, it's awesome."
Somebody took my real name on Snapchat. They're like, "Oh, are you famous?" I'm like, "No, I'm just well known enough that somebody could probably embarrass me by using my name." So I try to lock down my name on a bunch of different things, and I'm like, "Well, I guess for Snapchat, nobody can see what they're doing anyway, so I guess that's okay."
How about this? Dan Amrick from HR.
No.
Yeah,
I had a couple of jokes that I've wanted to use, and the gamer tags are still taken, and it really bums me out.
Yeah. Yep. You gotta assume there's some stuff tied to them that they don't want to get rid of.
Yeah.
You know? I just think it's a time thing where, maybe they'll
a bunch of them too. Josiah had free ham jobs forever, and they made him change that.
Yeah, well, like I said, that could be technically offensive.
To who? Pigs?
I guess.
Free ham jobs. That's good.
Right?
Gamer tag of the week.
Yeah. Everybody that listens to our show has an offensive gamer tag. So. Pantless Steve, you want to give us some news and then we'll bust into the Metacritic game to wrap this bitch up?
February Games with Gold are some stinkers. Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time will be available.
That's an interesting game.
No opinion on that one.
It's all right, I guess. And Project Cars are your Xbox One games for February.
Let me tell you a little bit about Project Cars.
Tell me a little bit about Project Cars.
It runs like garbage on an Xbox.
I bet they fixed that, right?
I've played it recently. Not really.
Well,
and it controls like shit.
I bet they fixed that, right?
That has been fixed more than the actual visuals.
Little do you know, I drive like shit.
No, I know.
Fit right in.
And then your Xbox 360 games, which will also work on your Xbox One, are Monkey Island 2.
Not a thinker. Take that back.
Oh, that's such a good game.
And Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Let me tell you a little bit about Star Wars.
Actually, the 360 games are all right. Those Xbox One games.
Star Wars The Force, I'm going to sit down with my son and play
That's a good game. Yeah. The second one?
Is. Eh. I mean, particularly, don't you start off as Vader?
Do you play as Vader for a second?
There's an achievement for killing 500 people as Vader, I believe.
I haven't played that game. I played the first 5 minutes on my work laptop, and then my work laptop was like, "Oh, you want graphics? No, can't do that." So that's still on my to playlist on
Star Wars
on Steam. You know, so
yeah, yep. All right. Are we friends on Steam? Are we friends
in real life?
No. No.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Again, you can guess my name. It's pretty
Dan Amrick.
It's one of sorts.
That is Activision IP, thank you very much.
He's Loose Butthole on Steam.
Oh, awesome.
Prey has a release date, May 5th.
Yeah.
Tekken 7 also has a release date, June 2nd.
Cinco de May.
That's right.
Prey looks great.
It does.
After being shut down by Disney, Avalanche Software, Disney Infinity, has been reopened and acquired by Warner Brothers. They'll be making a video game based on Cars 3 movie.
I'm just guessing just a license type game, like a. You know,
I mean, they did Cars 2, which was obviously a racing game on the 360, and it was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was real good. It was real good. Yeah, that was one of the first games that my son played. We keep going back to this. I know. I'm sorry.
I just put this in the news because I felt like with them being shut down, it was weird that a publisher would then come back and reopen them months later.
And Warner Brothers, do they own IPs? Or not IPs, but like game developers?
Yeah, NetherRealm.
I know they work with Rocksteady, right?
Yeah, NetherRealm is theirs. I don't think they own Monolith.
Do they own Rocksteady?
They don't own Rocksteady. Rocksteady's their own thing.
Okay.
I think they do own Monolith.
That's what I was wondering if they did or they purchased them or not.
I'm pretty sure they
do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guess what? So. We're going to use the Google.
Oh, uh-oh. Well, yeah, if you want a definitive answer, then we'll ensure that's the baby way to do it.
Go to Bing, type
I'm going to move on. Bing Google and then go to Google.
Right.
They are owned by Warner Brothers.
There you
go. Cool. All right.
No more Snap features on the Xbox One soon.
It's Mike. Billy. I don't think his name is Mark.
I thought it was Mark.
Maybe you're right. I think it's Mike.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Mike. I think it's Mike Ibarra.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now on Twitter. Oh, no.
You're wrong.
You're right.
Drunk.
On Reddit, they put Mark Ibarra. On Twitter, he put Mike Ibarra. I'm going to go with Reddit on this one.
Yeah. So, Mark, we replaced Snap to improve multitasking, reduce memory use, improve overall speed, and free up resources going forward for bigger things.
And I am in the preview for the new dashboard, and I can confirm Snap is no longer a thing.
Awesome.
They replaced it with a picture-in-picture type thing.
It was handy.
Okay.
Like, one out of every 1,000 times it popped up.
So, like, you know, one of the features people would use was they would snap the achievements, and you can do, like, an achievement tracking.
Yep.
Now what happens is it'll track the three achievements you're the closest to getting, and it'll put it picture-in-picture kind of transparently on the screen. In six different quadrants, you can pick where you put it. And sure. So it'll keep track of that on the screen instead of taking up half of the, or this wasn't half, but like a quarter of the screen showing you the whole achievement list.
I'd rather it sit on the side than block my UI, though.
It doesn't block it, though. As I said, it's transparent.
I'll never use that.
You didn't. That means you didn't use the achievement tracking feature anyway.
Right.
No, I would just pop them up. I'd snap them because that was easy.
Oh, so that whole thing's gone? Like friends and all?
I mean, that's there.
Well, that's how I used to go to my achievements.
I mean, it doesn't stay there. Snap feature would stay on the side of the screen.
No, you can literally pull it out of that and put something over top of your game to...
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I won't use that.
Yeah. As long as my notifications work, I don't give a fuck whatever else they add. Square Enix teased an exciting announcement for tomorrow.
Yeah, so...
It's not going to be a fucking... No, it's not Life is Strange, and they're not ready to talk about
that.
Final Fantasy yet.
So what would Marvel send out a tweet at the same time?
Exactly.
Bishop added this because Steve doesn't do that.
If they tweeted the same minute, which would mean, granted, I highly doubt it's them together, but I just thought it was weird that they would both tweet out the same thing. Hey, we both have an announcement at the exact same time.
It'll be a Kingdom Hearts announcement.
Probably.
So?
Put Marvel stuff in.
Marvel, okay. I mean, Marvel's owned by Disney, so there you go.
That's true, right. Wolverine ripped Mickey Mouse apart. Let's do it.
No, Mickey Mouse is the ultimate Keyblade person, right? Don't
it's
you dare.
Was.
Well, that's fair. Until Wolverine showed up.
Right. Snicked.
Wait, what happened to the Mass Effect news that was on the list?
I don't know.
Mass Effect's...
It's not
Mass
a Effect's, news.
It is
Mass
news.
Effect has an announcement tomorrow.
That's not what the thing that was written down, though.
No. Also, it's one day closer to release.
That's the
All you need to know. Yep.
Right.
Ghost Recon Wildlands closed beta starts on February 3rd.
Which is next week.
Dan.
Don't register because if you register for the Xbox, they'll send you a fucking PC code that you can't use.
Can you get
For
Honor? For Honor
no,
code?
I really don't care.
For
I'm
Honor
never going to.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
you
sure.
You can tell. I've played it.
I haven't, and it probably never will.
Nope.
Oh, well.
No, it's not a game that you're going to like. I
know.
No, it requires skill. He wouldn't be good
Ooh,
at it.
Look at
you. Yeah, wouldn't go that far.
Couldn't even do the Talos Principle.
It's rock, paper, scissors with blood.
I finished The Witness twice, all right? So fuck off.
Well, whoopty fucking
well,
do
sure,
for you.
The second time you knew all the answers. I mean,
it was well, look. It was easier.
Answers from Reddit.
But not all of the answers.
Mark Ibarra helped you.
Mark. Good old Mark.
Good old Marky.
Marky. Should we invite him on the show in the future? Call him Mark. See what he says.
Whatever. Think I care?
Yeah.
I care.
That's all the news.
You're right. That's all the news. All right. So.
That we want to talk about.
So guess what I did, guys?
Fuck, we don't have enough time for this.
I went. You're right. I went and tallied up our Metacritic scores.
You do that while you were at work, or?
Huh? I don't have that kind of time at work. I'm there for an hour and a half a day.
Yeah, there's enough time to do stuff at work.
Right? No, it took like a half hour. I was sitting here bored and figured, I'll do this before the show. So as of through show 199, do you want me to give you guys your individual stats, or do you want me to tell you Yeah, fuck it. Steve, you have...
You want me to do that? Fuck it.
Fuck it. 40, first place. And the math is going to be a little off because some of these ended in ties, and it was before we had our tiebreaker set in stone. Okay. But Steve, 40, first place. 21, second place. 13, third place.
You'll say, does this include guest appearances or no?
No, because they always did better than me, so I took them
off. Well, if that was the case, dude, we wouldn't be doing this at all.
No, you know what's funny is of the handful of times that I won, like 90% of them was when we have a guest on.
You'll say, Smitty.
So buckle up, Dan.
You're about
to witness something that very few people have seen. Bishop, first place, 30. Second
Ooh,
place,
suck it.
30. Third place, 11.
Yeah, so you so fuck you.
Less first place, but also less third place.
But more you second see? Place.
Yeah, you can shove that right back in your high school guidance counselor's face. Yep. You I'll are put that, average.
Yeah. Fuck her. She doesn't know me.
Right. Clearly.
Mr. Second Place, all right?
Yeah.
And that's
that
it
on
for
flat,
the scores.
Dan.
That's it for the scores? Is
that's
that it?
That's it.
It's me and Steve.
No, I had 6 first place finishes. And you know what the worst part is? Is I had a string of 3 in a row, then a week where I was third, and then 3 in a row.
Oh, so you really peaked. It's like you're a high school football player. Like, so you got those, be that good again. You just have
you
to
got those
that,
2 months.
That strikes shockingly close to home, Dan. That hurts. All right. I had 15 second place.
All right. Oh, my God.
And our savants are doing the math in their head right now going, oh, wow. And 48 third place finishes.
Yeah. Smitty.
Fuck off. How dare you judge me?
I will judge you. Judge.
Yeah. Wow, you showed me. He did it, guys. He did it. Didn't think he would.
I was so shocked by that number.
I know. Down where you're from, they usually only go up to like 12. Do this all day. Let's do the Metacritic and wrap this shit up. I'm sure Dan has better things to do.
49.
My wife wonders where I am.
No, she doesn't.
She came in and she's like, how much longer is this going to be? I'm like,
not long.
I don't know.
So, how many dick jokes now? He's got a quota to hit. So, we are going to start with, who won last week? I think it was Steve, right? No, Bishop.
I won. Motherfucker,
Bishop
don't you get it
week.
Wrong.
Oh, Lord.
Mr. 48.
Bishop, this is going to come to us from Show VIP.
They're all Show VIPs. Yeah, we don't have but like 8 of them.
Jay Ruble bought his, so.
Okay.
Bishop, I need to know the Metacritic score. Dan, you remember how the game is played, right?
I do.
Guess the Metacritic score. There. Give me the Metacritic score of Double Dragon 2 Wander of the Dragons.
Wait, was that really
is that
the name
even
of
a
that
game?
Game?
Is that a thing?
It was, and I'm pretty sure it was fucking trash.
That's not a real game. That was only Xbox console?
I trust Jay Ruble.
Not a real game.
Yeah.
These are on Xbox, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Oh,
well, all right, well, let's just guess scores and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
This,
fucking
well,
Jay Ruble. Smitty
said it was terrible, so I was actually going to go kind of high because it had Double Dragon in the name.
Yep.
So there hasn't been a good Double Dragon game in years. So.
Neon was okay. That was all right. That was recent. I'm going to say 38.
All right.
That's higher than I was.
I'm going to say 32. And we'll go to Mr. Amrick.
57.
I like calling you that. 57.
I'm feeling optimistic.
Yeah. All right.
That's a bad
Steven?
Mood.
30.
All right.
I
think we're all too
high.
I think we're all too high. I think Yagoosh was high. He made this game up. Or
Jay
Ruby, whatever it was. I'm high.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Exhale now, Bishop. There
Same
you go.
Person.
Let it out. All right. I am going to guess the Metacritic score of a game I've never heard of. It's called Morph X. Or
what
Morph
is it?
I played that game.
Maybe.
Morph?
That game is trash.
Yeah, so there's a theme here. Okay. I'm going to say 32. Mr. Amrick.
Morph X?
Danny Boy.
It is. You morph into different creatures during that game.
These aren't fucking real games.
I've played this
Wait,
one, so it is real.
Morph X is the actual name of the game?
Yes.
These aren't real games.
I
have almost all the game score in it.
I'm going to look like an asshole when I go to look these up. 28. They don't exist.
28. All right. There we go. He's still being optimistic, I think. Steve?
What did you say?
None of your business. Pay attention.
35.
All right. And Bishop?
33.
All right. You're just going to price this right, me? Is that what you're going to do?
Get up.
Dan, what's the Metacritic score? No. This is a known IP. What's the Metacritic score of Rambo, the video game?
Oh, man.
Right?
This one I know was bad.
Yeah. We'll go with Jordan's number, 23.
23. Steve?
I'm going to go with Ewing's number, 33.
Okay, Bishop.
I'm going to go Steph Curry's number in 30.
All right, I'm going to go with my number, 32. that was my number, yeah.
Right. So Double Steve, Dragon.
Double Dragon 2.
Is this
Wander
a real game, and when did
Dragons?
It come out?
2 Wander of Wander of the Dragons.
I want a release year.
Oh, wow. This game was released on... I don't know. Doesn't say.
Okay.
Nope. April 5th, 2013.
Almost an April Fool's joke.
Oh man,
this is only 3.5 years
was
old.
The same year as this Xbox One and the PS4 came out.
Yep.
Well, I guess that maybe makes a little more sense. Metacritic score of 17.
No.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah, I think I lost this week.
No. You're always in it when you're playing with me.
Oh,
that's
a good point.
Oh man. The best score it got was a 30 from Game Informer.
Fucking shills.
Yeah.
All right. What was the second made up game?
Morph X. Which is, that game was awful.
That's a real game too, apparently.
It is.
I know.
Morph X was released on
2010.
September 28th, 2010. All right, Bishop cheated, then he looked these up.
No, I played this game, is the reason why.
Yep. Maybe you deserve to win this. This is going to carry on.
Metacritic score of 33.
Look at that. Wow. All right. And then Rambo.
Oh, good old Rambo.
Good old Sly.
Come on, 23.
Rambo, the video game on the Xbox 3.
They have a tiebreaker, too.
That game, by the way, on the 360 never came to America. It only released in Europe.
What?
Rambo.
Yeah.
Really?
Take that.
Yeah. Rambo came out in February of 2014.
Okay,
hot. Xbox 360. A hot Metacritic score of 28.
Oh, I was really close. Come on. Not as close as 30.
We were all close to that one. Yeah. Not 17, though. It's better than Double Dragon 2.
Oh, my God.
Wonder of whatever the fuck that name was.
What's the tiebreaker? I gotta know what other.
We're gonna need it.
Wait, is there a tie for real?
There
is. Oh, really?
All right. And the tie is for first place.
It's not me.
So coming in last.
It's me.
50 points away.
No, I think Dan. Dan got fucked on Double Dragon.
Yeah.
I still believe that people are you know, inherently good. I'm the Anne Frank of video games.
Well, let's hope.
We're gonna put you in the closet?
Damn, addict, son. Learn your history.
Oh.
Right? Jesus Christ. She was the one that couldn't speak. She was deaf and... really? All right. Coming in third place, 23 points away, Rare Bishop. And tied for first, 20 points away, Smitty Smith and Pantless Steve. Are you ready for this face-off, my friend?
Oh, what kind of garbage is this?
I think I fucking closed the email, too. What a nightmare.
Is there a tiebreaker? Because I would totally want to come up with one.
No, I've got one.
God damn it.
I know, right? Just the worst. All right, Steve. What's the Metacritic score of... And actually, what we're going to do is send a message.
I'll look it up.
Oh, my God.
I'll look the game up.
Because I know what you're going to do.
What?
All right, so Metacritic score of Crazy Mouse...
All right, I'm going to look it up real
quick.
What?
Crazy Mouse. M-O-U-S-E. Crazy Mouse.
All right.
Bishop, I'll send you a Facebook message.
Oh, okay. All right, hang on.
Well, this is. I don't need all this in my life.
Hang on.
I got Smitty's.
Crazy mouth.
Yep. So you can say yours out loud if you like.
Okay. I'm going to say 30.
That's not a word.
All right, so we got
crazy.
30 from Pantless Steve, and we've got 12 from Smitty.
Oh, shit.
And the score for Crazy Mouse on the Xbox 360 is 28.
Oh, all right, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
12?
Really? A game called fucking Crazy Mouse, and you're wondering why I said, oh, it's a 12, and that was being nice.
Highest score, 40. The line it uses on Metacritic, it sucks.
Yeah. 10.
Thanks, J. Rubel. You fucking...
No.
GameSpot. Crazy Mouse should have stayed in its hole.
Wow. All right.
I also want to take a minute to say thank you, guys. 200 shows is actually... It's quite a milestone.
For you, it's 200.
I mean, for us. I mean, there's probably 2 or 3 dozen shows in there that never got posted.
My wife asked me this morning if all of the shows you lost got posted, how many? And I was like, yeah, it's probably like 10.
Probably about 213.
Yeah, that. Plus, like... and, you know, we're about a year behind. The 200 should have hit about a year ago. You know, if we had been consistently posting every week. But what started as a chance encounter at PAX East, where we kind of followed each other on Twitter, didn't really talk all that much, and then got absolutely shit-faced and let's hang out.
That doesn't happen at PAX East.
I know, right? I'm still hungover from the last one. Ended up being a podcast where, you know, fives of people tune in every week.
They're all show VIPs.
We've actually had news break on the show, you know, from Ubisoft, most often than not, when it comes to Assassin's Creed and such. But yeah, I mean, we've had shows that were downloaded 15, 20,000 times, and we've had shows that were downloaded, you know, 500. So there's quite an array.
I wasn't here for those.
Thank God. we've got the original crew back together. Dan, I mean, I consider you a part of it too, just because anytime we ask you to come on the show,
you blame me for this.
Your mic got quiet again, which is kind of cool. anytime we've asked you to come on the show, you've always done it. You've rearranged your schedule. You know, Hugh was willing to do the same thing. He didn't do it though, so you're better than he is.
Thank you.
But just what we've accomplished over the course of 5 years, guys. 5 years we're approaching doing this together.
Really? It is astounding. Because
Bishop started this when he was in eighth grade.
You really should have accomplished more than this.
Hmm? No, I'm happy with this.
This is not right.
I will say, when we started doing this, I was not a legal drinking age.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are now a man.
And that's even for Alabama, where it's legal to drink when you're 6.
Right? I wouldn't know. I've never been to Alabama.
Yeah, you're from Alabama.
Nope.
Alabama and Mississippi is the same thing.
Nope.
Where do they have better moonshine?
My middle fingers are the same thing, too. You can take both of them and shove them up your ass.
Yep.
Tennessee is the best moonshine.
I'll take Steve's word for it.
Someone who drank some out of a bathtub 5 or so years ago.
You don't want moonshine from Mississippi. It's not. You don't want it.
You don't drink.
It doesn't matter. You don't want it.
You don't want moonshine from anywhere if it's done right, to be honest. So.
Right? You know why they call it moonshine, right? Because it's done illegally in the woods at night.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Like your mom. All right, that's going to do it for episode 200. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hopefully, we've got 200 more. We'll see you guys.
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
Let Dan pimp all of his 100 things.
Oh, that's
Dan.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Dan does stuff.
Do I get to plugs?
He has 100 things, yeah.
Well, I'm kind of excited because we've been keeping people waiting for this PaltSwap Ninja project for something like 3.5 years now. Obviously, things like Jude having kids... me changing jobs, all that stuff.
Having kids is a real blower, let me tell you.
but I'm happy to say that the project will be out this summer. We are working now for deadlines towards the end of the winter so that we can work with other people to have videos made for the songs that we're building, because we realize this being 2017, nobody listens to music. You watch a YouTube video and then you steal it from there. So since we're still giving it all away for free, we don't care if you steal it from YouTube, but we know that we won't get any attention for all of this hard work unless we get videos. So in order to do that, we can't approach video creators unless the thing is actually done. So I am happy to say that we've made serious progress over the last month or so. Some very difficult things have come together. We did reach out to our fan base because we realized we needed a real drummer. And we go through drummers like Spinal Tap. We've had like maybe three serious drummers involved in this project. We've invited about 8 or 10. We've gotten everything from "that's a fantastic idea, I'd love to be involved, but no," on through "I would love to
be involved. What's that like?
If you guys ever need a drummer, call me. I would love to work with you." We called him, we signed him up, we waited a year, and then after a year we're like, "What's going on? Like, how are the drums coming along? What do you need from us?" He goes, "Oh, I'm really not interested in doing other people's music." Then why did you say if you need a drummer?
Awesome.
Yeah, so like we've had some serious frustrations. We have now decided 100% we're going with digital drums. We're doing them ourselves, and we've got like good software that makes them sound much better.
I can beatbox.
No,
that's what you think.
So, yeah.
Go right so, now.
I just need like a bottle of moonshine, and I'm ready to go.
All I can say is when I can talk about it, I'd love to come back on and pimp it again. I am exceedingly proud of what we have done. There are still some major challenges to come, but oh my god, it is coming together. Hopefully people who are, you know, not as invested will go, "Wow, that was totally worth it." So all the rest of the free crap is already up at paletteswapninja.com, a site which, by the way, Ubisoft does not let me visit from work because it thinks it's a potential threat. I will tell you, there is no threat.
Justified.
So
I can't visit our site from work for the same reason.
Yeah.
They're right.
Yeah. Definitely justified.
So yeah, that's kind of my main thing. And Critical Path is still out there if you're interested in that. CriticalPathBook.com. I actually sold one to a coworker. And it is real. Let me tell you how really weird it is to work with people that go, "Oh my god, you're Dan Electro? I used to read you growing up." And I'm like, "Oh, how old
awesome.
Were you?" Yeah, I was like 13 when I oh my god. I'm like, "Yeah, that's great." One of those people is now, I'm not kidding, my direct supervisor.
"Hey Dan, I used to that's read you growing up."
Yeah,
"Hey but Dan, I wasn't okay. alive."
No. F you, dude.
Those were the days.
Thank you for your patience, Alex Buff Ninja. When you see the bat signal, we will ask everybody to make a lot of noise. Hopefully you will like it.
I want some sort of exclusivity deal.
You know what? After this call, I will tell you what we're up to.
Sweet.
But you can't do anything with that exclusivity. You're not allowed to tell anybody.
I mean, that's just like being married.
Yeah.
Yep. Everybody who's married just laughed at that.
Yep.
All right. Dan, where can they follow you? Like, they don't already need to listen to this show.
Snapchat, Dan Amrick.
I generally right. hang out. Most Dan Amricks, every Dan Amrick except for Snapchat is me. So yeah, I'm pretty active on Twitter at Dan Amrick. I do have a Facebook page for Dan Amrick. And PaletSwap Ninja is at PSwap Ninja. And also there's a Facebook page for that. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll put the links in the show notes. I'll do some real show notes instead of
thank you.
Rolling my face across the keyboard like I do. yeah, let's wrap it up. It ran a little bit long.
Smitty, I have a favor to ask of you.
Go on.
Since it's episode 200, for the intro of this episode, I want you to beatbox.
Yeah, boy!
All right, Flavor Flav.
All right, that let's end this shit before we run into episode 201. See you guys.
That's not gonna happen.